True Cult. New releases with Alex Bonniewell.
Alex, when it comes to new releases from umbrellaant.com.au, we have to start with this release.
20th Century Fox presents the story of Carla Moran. The most extraordinary case in the history of psychic research.
Everything broke loose. It went crazy. Everything was shaking. The bed was shaking and the walls were shaking. And...
Like an earthquake.
No, it wasn't like an earthquake. It was much stronger than any earthquake. Oh, wait a minute. Honey, I don't really understand this. You were attacked?
Come here, come here!
Or you weren't? It happened.
A team of experts will investigate her life.
Why does he attack you, Carla?
The entity.
Some Barbara Hershey action from umbrellaant.com.au. Alex, what is 1982's The Entity all about?
This really disturbed me when I first saw this film many, many years ago on video. The Entity is about a single mother called Carla Moran, played by Barbara Hershey quite brilliantly. And she becomes the victim of a malevolent sexual predator poltergeist who takes a shine to her and just does what it will to her whenever it likes. So it's like a really nasty version of Poltergeist. Of course, people don't believe her. You know, why would you be being attacked by a ghost? That just seems silly. So she goes to see a therapist, Dr. Phil Snyderman, played by Ron Silver, who tries to find some psychological answer to this. He also turns out to be really creepy, even more creepy than the thing that's attacking her, in my view, because he kind of takes a shine to her and tries to...
So she's fending off two entities in this.
Yes, pretty much. And it's just like, you'd get disbarred for this, I'm sure, if you treated your patients like this. Anyway, she ends up enlisting the help of the paranormal wing of the university, who, again, a bit sceptical because they've been to various things and they've never actually seen anything that they'd really kind of say, yeah, that's paranormal. They go to her house and they kind of go, oh, yeah, okay, there's something going on here. So she starts to feel a bit more relaxed because there's someone believing in her. It's a pretty creepy movie. The effects are still pretty good. Don't hold up quite as well as I remember them. Because when you get it on Blu-ray, the quality is so much better and you can kind of go, oh, okay, I can see how they've done stuff now. When I first saw this initially on VHS, I just couldn't work it out.
I'm but getting goosebumps just thinking about it now in the studio.
but say, this was made in 1982, so they were really pushing what they could do effects wise with this. There is a scene in this that Poltergeist lifted completely from it. There's a scene where they're rushing out the house and she reverses over a push bike to get out of there really quickly. And I'm pretty sure it's Poltergeist where they do that. It's either Poltergeist or E.T. It's one of them. I was kind of watching it going, that seems really familiar. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Entity had a bit of an effect on Spielberg and what he was trying to do a bit later on as well, I think. But yeah, good to see it available on Blu-ray and out there. If you missed out on this in the 80s when it came out and you want to see where they were pushing horror and creepiness, then yeah, grab it and see what was going on all those years ago and the effects that they were pushing then, because yeah, it was a step above most films of the time.
Yeah, it's funny that the film's director didn't actually consider this film to be a horror film.
it's hardly a comedy.
I think about it whenever, you know, if I'm just happen to be in the bath and the door closes, this is where my mind goes to, that scene in this film.
Oh, you've got plenty to choose from. You've got this, Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, Slither, you know, any number of films for bath scenes.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So I was going to say, this is why I only take showers, but then my mind just went, psycho. And I was like, oh, no.
Pretty much you just need a bucket and a washer. That's what's going to get you through. Alex, what else has been released from umbrellaant.com.au?
We got a couple of new Aussie films, Aussie horrors. One called Out of the Shadows, which sees a newly married police detective and his pregnant wife moving to their dream home. And their dream home is this sprawling property outside of town. Used to be a midwifery. But of course, something horrible happened there. And his very pregnant wife become susceptible to the horribleness, and you know, the husband doesn't believe her because he's a bit of a cynic and a down-to-earth kind of cop guy, but you know, he soon gets brought around when he starts to see things, and they have to seek the help of some sort of renegade demonologist bloke who must help cleanse the house, etc., etc. Quite good fun. Sorry, not demonologist guy. It's a girl who happens to be in a church where she's being held under supervision of the local vicar, so she doesn't go off and do demonology things, but she does to help cleanse the house. But of course, it all goes horribly wrong. Pretty good fun. Nice and creepy in places. I love the Australianness of it. When it gets going, it's really cool. There's a couple of bits in there that, in this movie, that I went, oh, I didn't expect that. So I really like that in a film when something happens, someone cops it that I wasn't expecting. Yeah, good fun. I really enjoyed Out of the Shadows. The other Aussie one is Red Christmas. This is a bit of an odd one. Starts off 20 years ago in an abortion clinic that gets attacked and blown up. The baby that's been aborted gets put in the bucket and kicked to the side, but its little hand appears and it's saved by someone. 20 years later, it's Christmas, and
we know what's going to happen.
Played by Dee Wallace, has got all her family over for Christmas, and they don't really get on with each other. This hooded man appears at the door and gets invited in, and oh yeah, of course it starts killing everyone. And who could it be? Could it be her aborted child from 20 years ago come back to find its mother and wreak revenge? Somebody's done in particularly bad taste. Again, quite enjoyed it. Like any film like this, you spend most of the time going, oh, who's going to get it next? Oh, is it going to be the mad Christians? Oh, is it going to be the stoners? Oh, is it going to be the husband? So yeah, if you like your kind of low budget house invasion slasher movies, then yeah, check out Red Christmas. We've also got on Blu-ray Rob Zombie's The Devil's Rejects from 2005. Now, I was a bit hazardous about this one because I didn't like this when it came out. I was such a fan of House of a Thousand Corpses that I didn't think I was really excited to see the sequel, and I didn't get it when I first watched it, and I haven't watched it since it came out in 2005. So this gave me a chance to reevaluate Devil's Rejects, and I must say, coming back to it 12 years later, it was a much better movie.
It's my favourite.
Yeah, it's a lot of people's favourites, and I didn't get it when it came out at all. But yeah, I really, really got into it this time round. We're following the Firefly family from Thousand Corpses.
What do you get for your Blu-ray money?
Oh, there's so many extras on there. It's quite crazy, and I haven't got it in front of me to tell you. You'd have to go to the umbrellaent.com.au website and take a look at exactly what's on this extras-wise. But there's a ton on there. It's over the top. It's Rob Zombie doing what Rob Zombie does best, which is outrageous super exploitation movies. Apparently there's a third movie coming along, which I'm now interested in seeing, because yeah, we've reviewed some of Rob Zombie's latter stuff on the show, and it's been okay, but I'm actually excited to see what the third installment of this series will be. If you've already got this on DVD and you want to upgrade, now's the time to do it, I think, because this looks great, it sounds great, and yeah, if you were a fan and you haven't got it on Blu-ray, time to get it. Because everything has gone a bit Stephen King mad, because it's come out.
Completely.
Yeah, we have, from 1985, the anthology Cat's Eye, which I really enjoyed when it came out. I do like anthology movies anyway, as I've said on True Cult. And this is a really cool one. Three really cool stories in it. You've got the first one is Quitters Inc., which stars James Woods as a smoker. And he goes to a new clinic that helps you quit smoking. And it's run by mobsters. And if they catch you smoking, they go after your family. So if you want your family to live, you quit smoking. So that's pretty cool. The next film is about a luckless gambler who is forced by someone whose wife he's having an affair with to walk around the ledge of the penthouse that he lives in. Really cool, really enjoyed this segment. It's really tense. It's really just like, you spend the whole time hoping he doesn't slip off this 5-inch wide ledge that he's being forced to walk around, and then he gets out of it at the end. And the final segment stars a very young Drew Barrymore, who's being terrorized by this weird little troll creature that comes out of her skirting board and tries to steal her breath. These are all interlinked, of course, by a cat, which is hops from segment to segment to tie them all together. There's also a nice Cujo and Christine homage at the start of this, which I thought was pretty cool. And again, if you like 80s horror and you like Stephen King and you like Drew Barrymore and James Woods, then yeah, get this. And again, it's really nice on Blu-ray. Really enjoyed revisiting this. Now, our next one is another Ozploitation classic, which umbrellaent.com.au keep pumping out and finding. This is Dark Age. This is pretty much an Australian version of Jaws that isn't Razorback. That was about a pig in the outback creating havoc. This is about a giant crocodile in the outback creating havoc.
And it has John Jarrett.
Yes. And it has a scene that they totally, totally unashamedly rip off from Jaws. Yeah, the scene in Jaws where they're in the boat and they're in the pond so that they don't get attacked by the shark. And then someone goes, it's in the pond. They do exactly the same thing there. You've got the kids playing in the creek and someone goes, it's in the creek. And it comes up and chows down on some poor kid's head. It's just kind of going, well, you didn't even try to hide the fact that you just ripped this off from Jaws. What I really like about this, though, is the tie-in with Indigenous culture. And
featuring two well-known Aboriginal actors as well in this. So worth going back to have a bit of a look, as well as Alf from Home and Away.
Yes. It's great. And I like that they always, whenever you see films like this, and whenever you've got like Indigenous people in an Australian kind of horror movie, they're always depicted as like the menacing shadow behind people or in the mirror and stuff. And then the white guy gets out of the car and stuff, and they go, all right, how you doing? Yeah, I'm okay. And you're kind of going, oh, they're not the bad guys, which is really cool. Because obviously, if this is being shown in the US or the UK or stuff, you know, where the bad guy is always the dark, the unknown, etc. But in Australian horror movies, they kind of tend to bring in all this Indigenous stuff into it and go, no, these are the people that are going to save the stupid white people from what's happening because they know what's going on. And of course it is the stupid white people messing everything up and having to be saved by the local Indigenous guys. Really good. The crocodile in this is so much fun. This great big hulking mechanical crocodile that you can see is so obviously fake, but you just love. Some amazing car stunts in this as well. There's brilliant shots of them herring along through the outback with the guys just standing on the bonnet of the car trying to track the croc and get it back to the watering hole so it can go off so it isn't killed by the redneck locals and stuff, and just kind of going, wow, it's just like, whew, yeah.
Alex, Madman has released Emo the Musical. What is this about?
Yeah, there's nothing I like more than a coming-of-age movie, and nothing I like more than a coming-of-age movie that celebrates a youth culture movement that started 20 years ago. Ethan is an emo, and he gets expelled from his school because he tries to hang himself in the playground because he's fed up of being bullied, and he's depressed and he's an emo. So he has to go to a public school where he discovers there are other emos. And they've got a band, and he wants to join them. And the band's called Worst Day Ever. And he gets in, and he has to date the bass player because that's what her role in the band is, to date the guitarist and play bass. But he's falling for the girl in the Christian folk band, which he can't do because he's an emo and they're Christians and they shouldn't meet. They will explode and all hell will break out. And, you know, this is just Romeo and Juliet, but with emos and Christian folk people. Very, very funny. Both groups of people have fantastic caricatures and cliches within them. This takes all those cliches of what it would be to be a teenager and an emo and a teenager and a Christian and just a normal everyday school and wraps them all up. The school seems to only have one teacher because everyone keeps getting sacked for improper conduct. And the school gets sponsored by an antidepressant firm because everyone's miserable in it. And it is that kind of, you know, has that kind of like, it doesn't matter who you are, we should just all get along kind of vibe to it. But I kind of like that in this. It made me laugh all the way through it. I watch most of these things on my own late at night when everyone's in bed, and I was just giggling like an idiot at this all the way through. So I highly recommend it. If you want a nice movie with some really funny moments and some also some pitch black comedy in it, then Emo the Musical is just, yeah. Every time I mention this to someone, they go, what have you seen lately? And they go, Emo the Musical. And they go, what's that? And I'm like, you need to see this film. So if you're into cult, this will be a cult movie without a doubt in a few years' time. It wouldn't surprise me if there are midnight showings of this in about 10 years' time, there's sing-alongs with it. I think it's that good. Also from Mad Men, you've got Spookers, the movie. Spookers is a all-year-round haunted house attraction just outside Auckland in New Zealand. And throughout the movie, you hear about their evolution from doing a Halloween haunted house in a mate's shearing shed that got so popular they had to keep it going and the sheep had to be shipped somewhere else to be sheared, to them buying this old insane asylum called Eastchair Hospital and setting up this all-year-round haunted house experience. And it seems to attract all your local goths and freaks and kids that don't fit in, who then become characters in this haunted house experience where they can be themselves and no one judges them, and they're there to scare the pants off of people. So they may have been the bullied at school, but they're getting their own back on the people that may have bullied them and the normals as they enter the house, and they scare the bejesus out of them. And there's brilliant stories about how they find people curled up because they're too frightened, and that people have soiled themselves, and there's stories behind the characters they portray, and there's interviews with them outside of their characters, so you get to know the people themselves and the people that run the place. So this is a really nice documentary on a kind of a family business that has helped people within Auckland and New Zealand to find a purpose to their lives and get on and do something constructive and proactive and enjoy just being themselves.
Cinema Cult is giving us a bit of a 90s classic, Alex. What can I expect from The Candyman?
Candyman's really cool. And this is the film that put Tony Todd on the map in horror film terms. The Candyman is an urban legend. He was a freed slave who gets murdered for having an affair with a white girl, and he comes back to haunt and get his own revenge on the people in the area where he is. The urban myth is being investigated by Helen, who's a student, and she ends up going to the project where the Candyman is supposed to exist and talking to the people there. Now, the people she interviews at college are all kind of white, middle class, etc., and they think it's just like a myth, and so you say his name in the mirror five times and he appears and all nasty things happen. But in the projects, he's real, and she soon finds this out. This is really cool, really creepy 90s horror, written by Clive Barker, of course, of Hellraiser fame. If you missed this first time round, you really should check it out. Really, really enjoyed this.
It still gets me, this film, Alex. It's still scary.
Tony Todd is brilliant in this. What I really found interesting about this is that they take a myth and an urban legend, which is primarily a black working class legend, and shift it into the white middle class realm. And it's far scarier for this woman because it is so out of her comfort zone. And Tony Todd, who's like the Candyman, is so utterly petrifying to her that you do realize that you know there are places where urban legends arise from, and if you're in that place, you're aware of it and you kind of go, okay, this is just part of our pool, as it were. And if you're outside of that and you come into it, it's even more terrifying. So yeah, really good, really creepy, really love this. Also from Cinema Cult, we got The Relic from 1997. This is a cool monster on the loose movie set in a museum. Yeah, someone brings something back that they shouldn't. It mutates, goes on the rampage. Very, very silly. We got Tom Sizemore in this as Lieutenant Vincent D'Agosta, and Penelope Ann Miller as Dr. Margot Green, as they both try and battle this mutant creature that has come to terrorize the museum. from Shock from 2005, we've got Skeleton Key, which is a nice, really cool southern kind of gothic tale. This living nurse is hired to take care of a elderly woman's ailing husband, played brilliantly by John Hurt, who is pretty much comatose for the entire movie. He can't move, he can't talk, but you know something's wrong. As the film progresses, you find out some history in the house and what's gone on there and how it's affecting the couple that are there now. So this delves into the cult of voodoo, not voodoo, voodoo, and how it kind of emerged from the black servants and the slaves into this weird kind of cult that is now impregnated parts of New Orleans and stuff. Yet again, really like this one, good and creepy, proper sent shivers down my spines in places. The Unborn is also on Blu-ray from Shock. Again, I didn't feel this at all. Our main actress in this isn't very good, even though she's appeared in a million things since. She just seems to act with her eyebrows and a pout when anything's wrong. But it does have Gary Oldman and Idris Elba in it in the second half, which kind of kicks it up a bit. But it's kind of supernatural, thrillery thing, sort of paranormally stuff. Not really up there with other movies of the same thing, but, you know, worth checking out if you've got, you know, spare hour and a half to do and you want something that's kind of above average. From Via Vision, we have the Urban Legend Trilogy Blu-ray set. So you've got all three Urban Legend films. So Urban Legend from 1998, which is, this is a really fun slasher, Who's the Killer on the Loose movie. Cool cast. It's got Robert Englund, Jared Leto in it, Loretta Devine, Tara Reid, Alicia Witt in it.
Still one of my favourites.
Yeah, set in a university where the killer on the loose is offing people in the style of urban legends. Kept me guessing all the way through. I had no idea who the killer was until it was revealed. So I was really like, whoa, I didn't expect that.
Have you still been checking the backseat of your car?
Yeah. That opening 15 minutes is brilliant. I'd never seen any of these movies, so I'd only ever heard about them. Again, this was a time, the late mid to late 90s into the early 2000s, I kind of didn't really go near American horror movies, and it's nice that I'm going back and finding out some real gems. So Urban Legend was really good fun. Urban Legend's Final Cut from 2000 moves the story to a film school where our film student is making a film based on urban legends, and things start to happen. People start getting knocked off. There are plot holes as big as a bus in this.
Not always.
There's one point in this where she's trapped in a recording studio and she spies a fire extinguisher. And rather than getting the fire extinguisher and smacking the guy or the girl or whatever in the head with it or spraying them with the stuff inside it, she smashes the control panel and turns all the lights out and just kind of going, oh, what are you doing? Oh. But again, you know, it's fun to play who's going to get killed next and how they're going to get killed.
But it's also suspend your reality before you press play.
Oh, absolutely. And the third movie from 2005 is Urban Legend, Bloody Mary. Starts off in 1969, where we have a prom. Three jocks are taking out three girls and on the date of the prom. They decide to drug them to get their wicked way with them. Mary realizes what's going on and tries to do a runner, gets caught up with and is killed accidentally by the football player that she's supposed to be on a date with. Then the urban legend now is that if you say her name in the mirror three times, you can see the face of a corpse. And in the movie, they actually say, no, that's just like Candyman. And then someone goes, yeah, but Candyman was based on Bloody Mary. And you're like, oh, it's gone all meta. Excellent.
Oh, there's so many links.
I thought this was more fun than the second film. It was cool. Again, you are playing who's going to get knocked off when, who's going to survive. Some cool death scenes. Yeah, the surprise at the end isn't really a surprise. If you've watched the other two movies, you're kind of going, oh, okay. Yeah, I think I know where this is going. But as a set, yeah, good fun. I would highly recommend it. If you were into the Urban Legends movies and you want them all on Blu-ray, grab this from Via Vision.